Welcome to Monday Morning Murder in the News with Alyssa Carroll.
Except it's Friday. Good morning, heathens. Wow, all I had to say is I might have to make a Monday Morning Murder in the News on Friday because you guys sent me so many articles, I don't want to leave anyone out. And what you heard was just send me a shit ton more, and I'm here for it. You guys keep doing this, I'll keep making these in the morning. If anything else, I can make a separate channel and we can just do this in the morning. I don't know. Let me know. Regardless, I got a lot of articles. And then at the end of this, I actually have kind of an update and it's going to have some disturbing stuff. So you might want to stick around for that. But our first article comes from thenewsleader.com. Title reads, Willow Springs man staged farm accident, paid someone to cut off his feet. So this is coming out, well, the article's coming out of West Plains, Missouri. The article is about Willow Springs, which is like central southern, very southern Missouri. Okay, so in Tori Thompson's 20 years of law enforcement, the Howell County Sheriff's Office lieutenant has examined his share of bizarre incidents. When a man appeared to try and cash in on an insurance policy by staging a bloody farm equipment accident, it became the strangest case of his career. So would-be fraud and gruesome scenes are part and parcel of Thompson's job, but the combination of those circumstances is odd. The details made it odder. Odder? I don't know if that's a word. In November, the Howell County Sheriff's Office sent out a relatively vague press release to local media about a situation involving a man in Willow Springs who had lost his feet in an apparent staged incident, those are in air quotes, with a brush hog, a rotary mower often attached to a tractor. So, yeah, it's like those riding lawnmowers, but they can be on a full-size tractor. They can be on kind of a smaller little small farm tractor, but they are able to cut thicker things than just the grass that you cut your, you know, like they can do small saplings and things of that nature. Lost was a literal term, as the severed feet could not be found by responding medics and law enforcement officers. No other details were provided amid the active investigation. The case was recently closed. Thompson shared details with the News Leader on Wednesday about the event that piqued much of the South Central Missouri County's curiosity. Quote, it was a poorly executed plan, Thompson said. I've never seen anything quite like it. When the call came in to emergency responders, it was described as involving a man whose feet were severed while brush hogging. But Thompson said it was quickly apparent the incident was staged. The feet were freshly severed. That much was true, according to Thompson, who said the man was in his 60s and a known paraplegic in his lower extremities. Okay, there we go. Authorities were immediately curious about the tourniquets on his legs and who put them there in the immediate aftermath of the alleged accident. The man, whom the News Leader is not naming because he was not criminally charged, apparently had some help. Thompson said that a man from Florida, guys, made the trip to the small Ozarks town to cut off the man's legs with a hatchet, executing an alleged plan to commit insurance fraud. Guys, I know the economy sucks, but don't be cutting off appendages, okay? It's not worth it. The wounds were not very convincing, the lieutenant said, with cuts that were much too clean to have been done by a brush hog, and that is very true. Quote, if it was done by a brush hog, it would have been a bloody, gory mess, Thompson said. I've seen those types of accidents before. This wasn't like that. As the investigation continued, Thompson said, investigators determined the man was attempting to get money from an insurance claim. Since he never formally filed the false claim, Howell County prosecutors did not press charges. Annoyed by the resources it wasted on this situation, Well, gotta love it. They're annoyed. The sheriff's office considered pursuing criminal charges of filing a false police EMS report, Thompson said, but the man was so severely injured from the incident that it would have been an arduous process to have him in jail. He had a lengthy stay at a local hospital. But where did his feet end up? A couple of days later, we got a call that a relative found them in a bucket obscured by tires. So we went and got them, Thompson said. Thompson's the hero. Yay to Thompson in Willow Springs. So anyway, as far as getting money, insurance fraud, or donations or anything, you can check severed feet due to a not brush hog incident off of your list. Okay, our next article comes from SanAngeloLive.com. I got that. SanAngeloLive.com. All one word. Title reads, Texas DPS confirms Odessa murder suspect shot and killed in Mertzon. M-E-R-T-Z-O-N. Okay, so Iron County, Texas. Now, Odessa, Texas is over, it's not west-west, but it's on like the western part of Texas. So he was shot and killed. No, it's up here, isn't it? Nope. Where does the article start? There it is. He was shot and killed by law enforcement, according to Texas DPS. Quote, the man believed to be the murder suspect is deceased following an officer-involved shooting earlier today, read the statement. The Texas Rangers are investigating the officer-involved shooting, as is customary. More information will be released when available, stated the DPS. So, the suspect for a murder in Odessa led multiple agencies of law enforcement at the Texas DPS on a chase in at least two vehicles and four counties, culminating in a 30-hour manhunt in western Iron County that started Monday. He was suspected of gunning down 74-year-old Ronald Wayne Irvin of Ector County in his own driveway before absconding away in a stolen 2014 black Ford Mustang. Absconding. Whoever wrote this, that's genius. It's top shelf words. He then ditched the car and fled on foot for about half a mile before stealing another vehicle from a fencing crew working along the roadway at a nearby ranch. He ditched the Tahoe shortly thereafter and led DPS and other law enforcement agencies in a 30-hour manhunt in the ranch lands west and northwest of Mertzon. DPS have not named the suspected murderer who was shot and killed today. And that was the whole article. Texas DPS confirms Odessa murder suspect shot and killed. Well, I mean, he's not going to murder anyone else, although he was only suspected of. So, not good. That's not good. Okay, our next article comes from WXII12.com. And that's from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And the title reads, North Carolina released 911 calls reveal frantic moments during and after deadly shooting in Pineville Road, or on Pineville Road. So, Davie County, North Carolina. Davie County officials have released the harrowing 911 call detailing the frantic moments following a deadly shooting on Pineville Road Tuesday. The 911 caller, just a teenager, exhibits the utmost bravery in the midst of chaos. The heart-wrenching audio shows how the 18-year-old feared for the safety of herself and the baby that was with her, along with her siblings who had yet to return from school. At the same time, it shows the strength of that teen and the dispatcher who stayed on the line the entire time. Bless 911 dispatchers, you know what I'm saying? So here's kind of the back and forth. Dispatcher says, what's the nature of your emergency? The caller says, my dad just shot my mom. The Davie County Sheriff's Office said around 2:49 p.m. Tuesday, the 18-year-old called 911 to report that 38-year-old Dennis Sales shot and killed 34-year-old Jade Sales. Then it goes back to the conversation. Dispatcher, when did this happen? And the caller said, just now, just now. I'm terrified. He might kill me and my sister. All right, just stay on the phone with me. Stay calm. You're doing really good. The dispatcher stayed with the caller during the entire ordeal, doing their best to keep her and her one-month-old sister calm and safe. Good Lord. Quote, "What I want you to do is keep very quiet and stay out of sight," the dispatcher told her. "Okay? Are you okay? What I want you to do is just leave the phone open, okay? I want you to leave the line open. Even if you have to lay the phone down or stop talking, I just want you to leave the line open, okay?" At the same time, she was trying to learn any information that might help duties locate the suspect. Dispatch, "The last time that you saw him after this happened, where was he?" "In the living room, walking out the door." First responders were able to locate the caller and the one-month-old when they arrived on scene. Both were shaken, but safe. Back to the conversation. So dispatch said, "Go to your window and raise the curtains. Can they see, okay, what's in the window?" She said, I can't. He said, "Okay, why can't you? What's in the window?" And then she said, "Okay, they're here. Can I hang up now, please?" Dispatch said, "Okay, yes, you did a wonderful job, okay? Bravo." Dennis Sales was found across state lines in Tennessee Wednesday morning, although it's unclear when he'll be extradited back to North Carolina. However, he's facing charges in both states. So according to court documents, Sales has faced nearly 40 criminal cases since 2001, including a felony gun charge. He has been convicted on drug-related charges. Other documents WXII received from the sheriff's office show deputies have responded to the home at least 7 times this year. WXII is still working to learn more about the nature of those calls. 7 times, eh? How many times does it take to understand that he is not a safe person for these people to be around? 7, apparently. Our next article comes from CNN.com. This one is just, I don't even know. And the title reads, "Expert will testify Brian Koberger's cell phone was outside of Moscow on the night of the Idaho murders," defense says. This is coming from CNN. So Brian Koberger, who is accused of killing 4 University of Idaho students in November of 2022, was out driving west of Moscow, Idaho, the night of the slayings, his attorney says, and the defense plans to offer a cell phone tower and radio frequency expert to partially corroborate this account, a court document supporting an alibi defense filed Wednesday shows. Sidebar. If his phone was sitting still, not in Moscow, is it such a stretch to think that he just put it somewhere and left it there so he could go fuck shit up? I mean, he was working towards his PhD in criminal justice. You think that he's too stupid to, he was stupid enough to leave the sheath there if supposedly innocent till proven guilty. Do they think that he couldn't just set that phone down somewhere? Sometimes the most simple explanation is the explanation. But I digress. Koberger was driving south of Pullman, Washington, and west of Moscow, Idaho, as he often did to hike and run and or see the moon and stars, his attorney says in the document. The two towns are about 10 miles apart. More information on Koberger's location will be shared after prosecutors provide discovery evidence previously requested, the document says. Due to a wide-ranging gag order, prosecutors, defense lawyers, and attorneys for victims' families and witnesses are prohibited from saying anything publicly aside from what is already in the public record. The filing is the latest turn in the high-profile case against Koberger, who is accused of fatally stabbing 4 Idaho college students early on November 13th, 2022. A not guilty plea was entered last May on his behalf, and his attorneys have indicated he intends to present an alibi as part of his defense. So Koberger's public defenders several times have pointed to their client's purported penchant for taking long drives alone late at night. In an August filing, they wrote of the night of the killings, quote, "Mr. Koberger is not claiming to be at a specific location at a specific time," end quote. We know all the rest of this. But the point is now, I think I saw something on YouTube or something where they said that he's going to say that he was out stargazing, looking at the moon. I mean, you know, innocent till proven guilty, but I mean, come on. All right, our next article is from a source I'm not terribly familiar with, but it is SCMP, SouthChinaMorningPost.com. So this is coming from the South China Morning Post. And it says, but it's about Brazil. And it says, woman in Brazil wheels corpse into bank to take out loan in dead man's name. And there's like a little kind of video thing to it. It's rather disturbing. I mean, they've got the deceased individual's face all blurred out, but she's like moving their hand. It's odd. So a woman was arrested for fraud for using a cadaver to try and take out a loan for the equivalent U.S. dollars equivalent, $3,250. I don't know what that translates to in the money that Brazil uses. Bank staff became suspicious as man's head kept falling back when the woman stopped holding it. So it says a woman brought a 68-year-old man in a wheelchair into a bank branch and tried to get him to sign for a loan, but he had been dead for hours, Brazilian police said on Wednesday. Erica Vieira Nunes wheeled the cadaver into the bank in a Rio suburb on Tuesday and told the teller the man wanted a loan for 17,000 reais. U.S. $3,250, security camera video showed. She held a pen and moved his hand forward to no response. Uncle, are you listening? You need to sign, she said, according to the security video suggesting she sign for him. He doesn't say anything. That's just how he is, she said, adding, if you're not okay, I'm not going to take you to the hospital. No, she said, if you're not okay, I'm going to take you to the hospital. Bank staff became suspicious as the man's head kept falling back when the woman stopped holding it, and they called the police, who arrested her on the spot on fraud charges. The corpse was taken to the morgue. Her lawyer argued that the man died at the bank, but a police forensic analysis determined he had died earlier while he was lying down. So there's another one you can tick off of your list, like use a corpse to get money from the bank. Check that off. Not going to work. Scratch that out. Okay, so the next one was sent to me, and I read the title, of course, just to make sure it kind of applies. This one doesn't apply to us at all, but if it's what I think it is, it's so hilarious that I could not include it. So this is coming from ky3.com. Title reads, a Walmart location is replacing self-checkout lanes with staffed checkout lanes. Yes, my friends, they've decided to do something very just revolutionary, right? They're going to go from making us like scan and bag on our own shit on top of having to put it all in the cart and give them the obscene amount of money that we all have to. They're going to put people in the lanes again? We're going to have checkers again? It's almost as if their little plan to not have to pay, like to eliminate jobs, just didn't work. Imagine. Anyway, moving on. St. Louis County, Missouri. Yay, Missouri. Apparently I'm getting up there with Oklahoma and Florida. So a Walmart near St. Louis is ditching self-checkout lanes. This weekend, a Walmart store in Shrewsbury, Missouri, I've never heard of that, began removing self-checkout lanes. Walmart said the move is to help improve the store's shopping experience. The self-checkout lanes will be replaced with staffed checkouts. The changeover at this store is expected to take around 2 weeks to complete. Some of the biggest retailers have recently been reevaluating their self-checkout lanes, including Walmart. In March, Target stores nationwide began limiting self-checkout lanes to 10 items or less. To accommodate customers shopping for larger hauls, Target said it is staffing more traditional checkout lanes with human cashiers. I cannot with this. You know, maybe they're getting ready to do that at my nearest Walmart, because it seems like they're using their little blue Walmart little rope, you know, herding us cattle in the directions they want us to go around the self-checkout lane. So maybe that's going to be a whole thing. So also last month, Dollar General said it was removing self-checkouts from 300 stores to have the highest levels that have the highest levels of shoplifting. In other Dollar General stores, self-checkouts will be limited to customers with 5 items or fewer. Retailers said self-checkout lanes made theft easier since no employee is ringing up the items people buy. It's almost as if we told them that would happen as well. Amazing. Amazing. Okay, this one was sent to me, but I also found this one as well. But anyway, it comes from KTLA.com, and the title reads, "Mother confesses she forced 5-year-old daughter to live in feces-covered closet with little food prior to her death." Mm-mm-mm. Court records provide gruesome new details into the horrific death of a 5-year-old Indianapolis girl. The girl's mother, Toni McClure, has been arrested for murder. Her boyfriend, Ryan Smith, has been arrested for neglecting, resulting in death, a charge McClure also faces. I think I've actually heard about this one. The Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department was called just before 5:15 p.m. Tuesday to a mobile home park for a report of an unresponsive child. Upon arrival, the officers found an unresponsive 5-year-old girl inside the house. That little girl, identified by the Marion County Coroner's officer as Kinsley Welty, died a short time later after being taken to Riley Hospital for severe malnutrition. "It's horrific," said the victim's grandfather, Brian Welty. "It's going to obviously be a memory I'll have my entire life that my granddaughter basically starved to death and it could have been avoided." Welty said he cared for Kinsley on 2 different occasions before she was returned to her mother's custody. And I did hear about this one in my kind of checking up on things, that the mother had already lost custody when she was just a baby because she wasn't feeding her. And then they just let her have custody back when she was 3 or 4 years old. He was devastated to hear about the poor conditions his granddaughter was forced to endure. And the mother does not look like a skinny mini, by the way. I'm not fat shaming. She's not fat, but I'm just saying it doesn't look like she missed a meal. According to court records, McClure initially tried to blame the girl's father for the abuse inside the home when the story fell apart. McClure allegedly confessed she knew she was treating her daughter wrong, but simply didn't care. Inside the home, police found a small closet covered in fecal matter where the girl was allegedly forced to spend most of her time. The girl had fecal matter in her hair and on her feet. She also had lice crawling on her face and head. She weighed less than 5 years. She weighed less at 5 years old than what she did when she was 2. Police said the bedroom closet was blocked by a dresser. McClure admitted she routinely put the victim in the closet and did the bare minimum to feed her daughter, who often complained she was hungry. McClure confessed she feared her actions would eventually lead to her daughter's death. She said she had a desire for her daughter to be out of her life. McClure was arrested for murder after making those statements. Quote, "She's a wicked woman. That's all I can say," said Welty. Quote, "This poor little girl had no chance. She had a parent who was a monster who failed her in every way," said the victim's great step-aunt, Carrie Hogan. Police also said McClure's boyfriend, Ryan Smith, admitted the victim had been kept in the closet since Thanksgiving and was rarely allowed out. Smith said he was concerned the girl was losing weight but didn't want to call 911 because he loved McClure. Smith was arrested for neglect, resulting in death. Quote, "It's devastating. I wouldn't even treat my dog that way." McClure is being held without bond pending the filing of formal charges. It says court documents show McClure was charged with neglect in December of 2018 because her then 3-week-old baby girl was suffering from failure to thrive. The baby's name was redacted from court documents in 2018, but the family confirmed that Kinsley was the victim in a previous case. The victim's family believes the Indiana Department of Child Services failed the little girl. Quote, "We were planning on keeping her, but DCS had their policy of reunification, and that's horrible," said Welty. "Reunification from the get-go is the problem in my eyes, because no matter what the parent does, their goal is reunification," end quote. So, and it goes on. Anyway, the point is, yes. So, as a sidebar, I have an issue with some of the reunification stuff, too. If you have parents that absolutely, you know, go through something, they need some help or whatever, it's whatever. But from what I understood when I was listening to updates on this on, I think it was like Court TV or something, the issue with this is that the mother very clearly did not want that child. Okay. And they just kept, but you know, you have to do this, that, and the other thing. You have to, you know, make this progress. We have to see this and that, because don't you want your daughter back? Don't you want her back? You know, you want her back. And then she's pressured, I guess, or whatever you'd want to call it, into taking a child back that she doesn't want. And then this happened. So maybe we need to kind of reevaluate the reunification stuff. That's a soapbox I probably shouldn't even dip a toe in. So we'll just move on. The next article comes from foxnews.com. Title reads, "Wisconsin college student's body parts found after first date with suspect compared to Dahmer." Wow. So a college student with hopes of joining the military was killed in horrific fashion after a date with a suspect who drew comparisons to the Milwaukee Monster. Sade Robinson, 19, was allegedly dismembered by Maxwell Anderson on April 2nd, and law enforcement is still finding her body parts, which washed up along Lake Michigan's shores as recently as Thursday, the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office said. The remains haven't been, quote, formally confirmed as Robinson's, according to the Sheriff's Office, although they're confident the remains are hers. Her other remains were found on April 5th, 6th, and 7th. How many pieces did he leave her in? Robinson's mother, Sheena, compared the suspect in her daughter's death to serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer. She said, quote, "This isn't normal. This is a 2024 Jeffrey Dahmer," she said on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. A lead detective in Dahmer's case doesn't believe Anderson, 33, is as charming or intelligent. Retired Milwaukee Police Lieutenant Steve Spingola, who worked Dahmer's investigation, told News Nation that Dahmer's seemingly magnetic personality allowed him to kill 17 men in the 1990s and stay off law enforcement's radar. Was he super magnetic and charming, though? Because he was, these are the two that I always get screwed up. A friend of mine will laugh as soon as he hears this, but Dahmer was more schizoid. I don't think supremely charming would have been in his wheelhouse, but anyway. So, quote, "There's a treasure trove of file of forensic evidence that's left at Anderson's house and on video cameras and with witnesses. It's a little bit different than with Dahmer," he told News Nation. "Remember back in 91, we didn't have any of that." In stark comparison, Anderson was arrested on April 4th, 3 days after a dinner date with Robinson, when a passerby found a severed leg in Warnemont Park along Lake Michigan in Kudahy, Wisconsin. So Maxwell Anderson just looks like a basic white dude with like dishwater blonde hair. He just, you know, he's got like his hair matches his mustache and beard that's trimmed shorter. Like, he just looks like a normal person. This is not anyone we would particularly notice. On April 2nd, in between the date of the discovery of the leg, Robinson's friend reported her missing. Anderson was charged with first-degree intentional homicide, mutilating a corpse and arson, and remains in Milwaukee County Jail on $5 million bail. Quote, at this point in time, we don't believe there are any other victims out there, Milwaukee County Sheriff Danita Ball said last week. Anderson's preliminary hearing is scheduled for Monday, and the investigation remains ongoing. And then at the bottom of it, they just throw this picture of Dahmer down here, you know, the front and then the side view when he got arrested, like the last time he got arrested. Oh, I'm sorry, then there's more. There's so many ads on the page. Robinson was studying criminal justice at Milwaukee Area Technical College and considered pursuing a career in the U.S. Air Force, her mother said. The Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office asks anyone with information about this case to call MCSO through the Milwaukee County Office of Emergency Management. Their phone number is 414-278-4788. Or call Crime Stoppers at the normal phone number if you want to remain anonymous. So if you know something and you need to be anonymous, call it in. Okay, we're already at 30 minutes, which means I've already got articles ready for Monday. So if y'all want to send me some more, could there be a Wednesday? Another Friday? How many articles I'm sent from all over the world determines how many of these I do, I guess. So I've got, so I'm going to have to kind of skip down here. But I have one that I want to, so the last article that I want to read for you is what I was talking about in the beginning. And then there are some court documents to go with this. So this is where I'm going to say, you know, the Monday morning murder, well, this is Friday morning murder in the news, is all fun and games and we laugh and it's dark humor and we understand each other. You know, we're loving, empathetic people with a dark sense of humor. But this is going to be disturbing. The article probably won't be as much, but then what I read after is going to be very, very disturbing. So if you don't want to hear that, you can turn this off. I'm just warning you ahead of time. Okay. So this comes from Fox35Orlando.com. This was emailed to me by a listener, and I very much appreciate her sending this to me. So Fox 35 Orlando, the title reads, Stephen Stearns charged with first-degree murder in Madeline Soto's death. I've not read the article ahead of time, but what I can tell you is, most of you know, those of you who don't, in the United States, first-degree murder means that there was planning and preparation. That means that there was, you know, he planned on it, premeditation, and planned on killing her with the purpose of her being unalived, like, and he caused it. No one else has been charged. I know a lot of people are wanting their torch and pitchforks for the mom, and I am eagerly anticipating her making some kind of statement or something so that I can kind of read her body language, because I'm one of those people as well. But I want to suspend the judgment with her just for now. Can we just put a pin in it just for now, right? But the point is that he's the only one that's been charged in Madeline's murder, which we figured was coming. But first-degree murder means that he planned it before he did it. He knew he was going to kill her before he did it. Okay. Osceola County, Florida. Stephen Stearns has formally been charged with the murder of Madeline Soto nearly 2 months after the 13-year-old Florida girl's body was found in Osceola County. It was like the day after her 13th birthday. Stearns, the boyfriend of Madeline Soto's mother, Jennifer Soto, was charged with first-degree murder by a grand jury, according to Osceola County court records and officials. This man looks a little creepy, but his eyes are huge. They're abnormally huge. Stephen Stearns. The indictment said Stearns allegedly killed Soto between February 25th and February 27th, 2024. We already kind of know when she had her birthday party Sunday, and then she was dead Monday morning. So we're pretty sure. So I'm not entirely sure why they have like such a wide date range in that, but it's whatever. Her body was found days later on March 1st. Her body was found, I believe, 4 days later. So Soto was reported missing on February 26th after her mom went to pick her up from school, Hunters Creek Middle School, and was told that her daughter was not in class that day. Her mom went to pick her up. Okay. Details on how Maddie, is what the family called her, was killed or what happened to her have not been released, including her autopsy report, citing the ongoing investigation and also the fact that she was 12. Well, she's 13. The point is she's a minor. The medical examiner's office has declined to release the autopsy report, citing the ongoing investigation as well as a state statute that prevents the autopsy findings from being released when it involves a minor whose death is related to an act of domestic violence. So could Stephen Stearns face the death penalty? It's possible. Florida State Attorney Andrew Bain said prosecutors are still deciding whether or not they'll seek the death penalty against Stephen Stearns, assuming his case goes to trial. So if he pleads guilty or whatever, he may not have a trial. Part of me doesn't even really want to know, honestly. He said his office would weigh the decision over the next couple of weeks to ensure they make the appropriate legal decision. In addition to the first-degree murder charge, Stearns faces more than 60 charges of sexual battery and possession of child pornography in a separate case. Soto's mom has not been named an official person of interest or suspect in her daughter's disappearance or death and has not been charged with anything related to her daughter's disappearance or death. And, you know, I have been trying to keep you guys updated on this case on Monday Morning Murder in the News. Remember, I was telling you that they said she's cooperating with the authorities. However, officials previously said everyone who was close to Maddie is considered a suspect until ruled out. And so many articles, so many news people keep saying that, oh, that means that she could be guilty. No, it literally means that anyone around her, until they have done their investigation and their research or whatever, and they can take them out of the pool, is going to be looked at as a person of interest. Okay. That's done in every case. So I don't know why they keep making that into such a big deal. Ooh. So details on those calculated moves, how Soto died, nor the evidence that prosecutors have tying Stearns to the girl's death were unable to be shared Wednesday, citing the active and ongoing investigation, officials said. State Attorney Bain said the case was very much open and ongoing. This is not over. And then this says it's unclear if Soto's family is cooperating in the investigation, but we've been told that Jennifer at least has been. He's been held in custody. Stephen Stearns has been held in custody at the Osceola County Jail since his arrest on February 28th. All these charges and everything. He was arrested before they found Madeline's body. He did not tell them where it was. And that's pretty much the article. And I've also been keeping up with this, and people involved in the case are saying that they can't say anything, they can't make anything public record until his attorney has had time to do what they're going to do. You know, they're privy to the information and whatever, and then people can start filing for the, you know, public access, blah blah blah. So we will have all of the information sooner rather than later. And you know, I don't know how disturbing that's going to be for me, but now for the really bad stuff. Okay, so in my digging to find updated information about the Madeline Soto case, I was able to find through the normal channels. I didn't break any laws. I didn't hack into anything. It's publicly available information from the Florida courts, but I did find a PDF that talks about what he's been charged with and stuff. I haven't read the whole thing, and so we'll read this together. Obviously, if it gets real bad, I'll probably, you know, delete it out. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. So, but we're experiencing this together. That's what this is all about. So first, it just says filing and file numbered, e-filed, blah, 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 in the Circuit Court of Osceola County, State of Florida. The State of Florida versus Stephen Michael Stearns. And then it's got all of these charges, sexual battery on a child under 12, capital. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of those. Sexual battery with a child 12 to 18, familial or custodial authority, several of those. Lewd or lascivious molestation, several of those. Unlawful possession of materials depicting sexual performance by a child, 10 or more images. There are a lot of those, like 3 pages scrolling. Whew. All right, here we go. So, in the name and by the authority of the State of Florida, Andrew Asher Bain, State Attorney of the 9th Judicial Circuit, prosecuting for the State of Florida in Osceola County, by and through the undersigned designated Assistant State Attorney under oath, charges That's Stephen Michael Stearns, a person 18 years of age or older, on or about the 19th day of June 2019, 5 years ago, in said county and state, did, in violation of Florida statute, so on, commit a sexual battery upon a female identified as, it's blacked out, we know who it is, a person less than 12 years of age, and in furtherance thereof, Stephen Michael Stearns, with his penis, penetrated the mouth of the female identified. That's count one. Count two. Andrew Asher Bain, state attorney, committed a sexual battery on a female identified as, we know who it is, a person less than 12 years of age, and in furtherance thereof, Stephen, with his penis, penetrated the mouth of a female identified as, and we know who it is. State attorney, I'm kind of skipping through for you guys, less than 12 years of age, and furtherance thereof, Stephen, with his penis, penetrated or had union with the sexual organ of a female identified as, we know who it is. Count four, person less than 12 years of age, he, with his penis, penetrated the mouth of the female child. Here's another one, with his penis, penetrated the mouth of a child less than 12 years old. He's been doing this really pretty much since he was dating her mother. All these years. The mouth. Then we have the back door penetration. A person less than 12 years of age with his penis penetrated. Okay, so we have the mouth again. We have the mouth again. The same. With his penis penetrated the female genitals of a female identified as. It's blacked out. We know who it is. Mouth again. Oh, his phalanges this time. He had her touch his penis in a lewd or lascivious manner. Intentionally force or entice a female identified as a person less than 12 years of age to touch him in a lewd and lascivious manner. I don't know that I can even say that. Tongue to the chestal area. His hand touching her bottom. He was using his penis to touch clothing that was covering her whatnots. There's like 36 pages of this stuff. Sadomasochistic abuse involving a child. Sexual battery involving a... Sadomasochistic abuse. What is this? Hang on a second. Knowingly possessed any photograph, motion picture, exhibition, show, representation, image, data, computer, depiction, or other presentation, to wit, lots of numbers, which in whole or in part Stephen Michael Stearns knows to include any sexual conduct by a child, and in so doing, possess 10 or more images of any form of child pornography, and the content of at least one image contains one or more of the following. Oh, my Lord. A child who is younger than the age of 5. Sadomasochistic abuse involving a child. Sexual battery involving a child. Sexual bestiality involving a child. Or any movie involving a child, regardless of length and regardless of whether the movie contains sound. That's count 22. Count 23 has the same kind of words. Same, sadomasochistic, the same. That's pretty much all that I'm going to be able to stomach. And that's page 19 that I scrolled to out of 36. So I don't really want to read any more of that. Ooh, I thought I could handle it, but I can't. So that is the update for Madeline Soto. The only updates I might have for the Chad Daybell trial is that there's been some good testimony. I know that the medical examiner that looked at his wife, it was, I guess, one of Chad's daughters that didn't want their mom to have an autopsy because she had died and you know, it was all really fresh and she didn't want her mom, you know, cut on, sorry, and all of that, and that Chad was indifferent during all of that. That's what the medical examiner lady testified. So that was interesting. That does tell a story. But she was in the ground for just a couple of months, I think it was 3 months or something. And when they exhumed her, she still had all that pink foam in her lungs, and that should absolutely not have been there. And I don't understand why, if she, like, there was food in her stomach, even though Chad said that she had been throwing up. But then technically, you know, you don't always throw up everything in your stomach when you're sick, but she had food in her stomach. But anyway, so the medical examiner testified some, and I thought that she was quite brave in admitting that she was fairly inexperienced at the time and all of that, but I don't really think it matters. I'm pretty sure that he's going to go to hell in a handbasket, and I hope he fucking does. And I hope that Lori rots as well, because anyone that would harm children is disgusting. So here is your Friday. Sorry to make it so dark. That's about it. You guys keep sending me these articles and I'll keep recording these for you. Okay. So you guys that are not in the United States, the United States people, please keep sending me articles. I love you guys. I love you guys. But you guys that are in, like, I see my stats. Okay. So India, you guys can send me your stuff if it's translatable at all. In the UK, in Africa, you know, I even have people listen. Well, I have people listening to me in almost every country in the world. So if you guys would just send me articles, email them to me. Serial Killing Instagram, all one word, @gmail.com. That's the best way to do it. Unless you're on the Facebook fan page, then that means Messenger, and you can send me them through Facebook Messenger or just post them in the group. But either way, I'm really enjoying this. This is kind of fun, guys. All right, well, enjoy your weekends. Tip nicely. Be kind. Be patient. The people that work on the weekends for us, they put up with a lot. You know they do. So be kind. If you can tip good, tip good. I'm a good tipper when I can afford to be. I try to make sure I hook people up, especially when you can tell that everyone's being so rude. Random acts of kindness, one a day, big or small. That's what I try to do. Keeps me humble. So have a great weekend. Try to remember, mommy doesn't have bail money. So keep your noses clean. Bye.